Well, it's good to be here. I have really, really thoroughly enjoyed myself being here. Thank you for all the work that y'all put into it. I know I've said before, but we've enjoyed being with Brother and Sister Graber. I know that she's not felt the best, and I hate that too. I'm glad she's feeling a little bit better, but I've enjoyed our time with them, get to know them a little bit better, and you. I'm still trying to put people together, families together. Y'all confused me this morning because the wrong mom was picking up the child, and I had no idea then. But she turned around and saw my look, and I said, she said, yes, not mine. Like, okay, good. But that's a great problem to have for me here. The Lord's blessed y'all immensely with a lot of young people, a lot of babies. Keep standing, okay? I know I said that a while ago, but I've been in a lot of churches. This is not the norm. This is not the norm. The Lord's blessed you out of the norm, if I can say it that way. A lot of churches, the young people are leaving. Don't leave. Stay in God's word. Stay there. Seek his face. But the song that we sang, page 506, Blessed Assurance. I love when the Lord does this because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Not that song, but I want to leave you with an assurance tonight. We've talked this week about how to have a revival, right? That we have to get the sin out of our lives. We've talked about it's not enough to only know, but you have to have a personal seeking. We have looked at, don't be a counterfeit Christian. Be real. Stand up and be what the Lord wants you to be in all those seven ways. And then we talked this morning about what Christ has done for us. That he was forsaken for me. So when I get frustrated, when I get discouraged in this world, I can think about what he's done for me, and that encourages me. And what I want to leave you with, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We know this verse, a lot of you. Hebrews 13 verse 5 will already know what this verse says. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 tells us a very important, teaches us something very important here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says here, let your conversation be without covetousness. And we understand what this word conversation means, right? It doesn't mean, in today's world, conversation is two people talking. But what this conversation is, it's still a talking, but it's what your life says. It's your lifestyle. Let your lifestyle, your conversation be without covetousness. Don't seek the things of this world. It says, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, and here's what we want to look at, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the title to the message tonight, is that he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As we finish up this revival, I pray and I hope that for all of us it doesn't stop. I pray and I hope, I plead with the Lord that he keep it in our hearts, in our minds. Yes. And as we go about the rest of this day, that as this session ends, that we not just relax and go about like every other time, you know, but we be changed. And tomorrow when we wake up, if the Lord gives us tomorrow, that we remember that sin in our life, that will hinder that fellowship with the Lord. That will hinder our prayers. It will hinder our following him. But we also remember that he will never leave us nor forsake us. This is a promise. I want you to hold on to this promise. You know, there with us moving, when I was a child, I was a kid, and we moved different places. When we moved to Louisiana, I have never hidden the fact from anybody that I hated living in Louisiana. I hated it. I did not like it one bit. It was hard. That was a hard place for me to live. I was glad to leave. But the one thing I always had there was my family. I always had my parents, my mom and dad. I could always run to them. I could always go to them. I was never alone because I had my family. You know, we're never alone. The Lord says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sometimes we may feel alone. Job felt alone. David sometimes felt alone. But we know we're not, right? We know we're not. We need to be seeking out for him even more. And what we want to do with this phrase, we look at this phrase in Hebrews 13, verse 5. And for a long time, I thought this was the only place this phrase was mentioned. But did you know it's not? This phrase is mentioned in a lot of other places in the Scripture. And in every place it's mentioned in a time of encouragement. To be an encouragement to those that's doing the speaking. Moses, and we'll go back and we'll read where Moses told the children of Israel that God will never forsake you. Moses told Joshua, God will never forsake you. Joshua told the children of Israel, God will never forsake you. We want to go back and look at these times and see that this is an encouragement for us, is what it ought to be. Because he will never leave us nor forsake us. So take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy is it's a fantastic book to read. Deuteronomy, if you ask me, can you sum up the book of Deuteronomy with one word? You know what one word I would use for the book of Deuteronomy? Remember. That's what the whole book of Deuteronomy is about. Moses telling the children of Israel, remember. This is Moses' last speech, last hurrah to the children of Israel. His last time, his last moments of encouragement to them. And he's telling them, he's not telling them, you got this. But instead he's telling them, remember what God's done for you. Remember this, remember this. He's over and over again in the book of Deuteronomy. You find the word remember. Don't forget, remember. And I want us to remember that God will never leave us nor forsake us. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, and what we're going to do is we're going to do this a little bit different. Verse 31 is the verse we're going to look at. He says here in Deuteronomy 4, verse 31, he says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swear unto them. Moses told the children of Israel, God will not forsake you. That word forsake there means to leave, to abandon, to let alone, to leave. Moses is telling the children of Israel, God will never forsake you nor leave you. He's going to be with you. He made a covenant, a promise with you, with your fathers. He's not going to abandon. He's not going to forget that promise, that covenant. And if you go back to verse 1 of chapter 4, we want to go through some of this and look at this, the Moses' encouraging words to the children of Israel. How that we can be encouraged by this. And if you, when you read this, think about the world that we live in. Think about, there is grandparents here, there's parents, and there's children. I don't know if there's great-grandparents, I'm not saying, I don't know. But you look at this, and you think about this as parents to their children, okay? Encouraging them, and you think about the world that we live in today. Moses is encouraging the children of Israel because of the place where they're going. They're fixing to cross the River Jordan. And they're going to face foes. They're going to face obstacles. They're going to face challenges in their life that they've never faced before. That's what our children's fixing to face. That's what they're facing here. And we need to encourage our children, our grandchildren, that the Lord will never leave them nor forsake them, that he is the one that they need to be looking to encourage them to always seek his face. In verse 1, he says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Where is Moses pointing the children of Israel to? Not to their traditions. He's pointing them to the word of God. Amen. Keep the word of God. Hold on to it. Don't let go. He says in verse 6, keep therefore and do them. Look, remember the message we talked about? It's not enough just to know. Look, it's not enough just to know what God's word says. You have to do it. There's a scripture I tried to find that it's in Leviticus, but I couldn't find it right off the bat. But it's where it says, you can look this up. It says that to keep his commandments is to live them. I don't know the exact wording. I can't remember the exact wording that is. But to keep God's commandments is not just to obey, but it's to live them out in your life, is what that verse is saying. That's what Moses is telling the children of Israel. Here, to let them be a part of your life, keep them, to do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The purpose to keep those commandments is so that they can be used of God, so that other nations can see God through them. That's the purpose. What is the purpose of us keeping God's commandments? So people can see Christ through us. Sometimes we're the only Bible, we're the first Bible sometimes people will read, is us. In verse 9, he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Look, this is going to take work. This week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, today, has been easy. We've been here. This has not been a struggle. I mean, sometimes getting here maybe has been a struggle, but tomorrow is going to start the big struggle, because you're not coming to church tomorrow night, more than likely. Tomorrow you're going to be on your own, but not really, because who's going to be there with you? The Lord's going to be there with you. And you know what? I'd about guarantee you, I think I can say this. Well, I'll say it like this. I know I can say this. If you get in a rough spot tomorrow, I know there's someone you can call, you can text, and they'll be there for you. I know that because I know Brother Graber. He'd be there for you. He's your pastor. You could call me, I'd be there for you, but he's your pastor. You could call each other. You'll be there for one another, right? You're going to be there for one another. Don't just look at me. Yes. This is a commitment. How are we going to stay? How are you going to stay strong as a church? By being there for one another. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Wednesday nights. Every day. Because we need that help. We need that encouragement. Moses is telling the children of Israel, you seek out God's word. You look for it, but look, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to take work. It's real work. And it's going to get frustrating. But the Lord says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says here, to keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Look, remember these things. You know, this may sound funny, but you know what I found the other day? I found on my computer, I was going through all my files, folders there, and I found in one of my, I have every book of the Bible as a folder. And I found in one of the books of the Bible a message. And I forget the title of it now, but I was intrigued by the title. And I thought, where did that come from? And I opened it up. I preached it. I forgot. I began to read that. I forgot I knew some of that stuff. We forget. When we don't read it, we don't study it, when we don't go over it, we forget. Look, we have to work at remembering. We have to work at remembering God's word. Why? We put so much stuff in our heads out there in the world. That's why we have to work at remembering his word. If we don't work at remembering his word, what is the one thing we're going to forget? That he's never going to leave us, nor forsake us. And then we're going to start feeling alone. And then we're going to be too busy to pray because we got all this stuff going on. Then it's not long, we're not praying, therefore we're not going to read because we don't have time. Look, it's a vicious circle. We need to remember. We need to remember. That's what Moses, the whole book of Deuteronomy, I challenge you to go through the book of Deuteronomy and find those places that Moses tells the children of Israel to remember. Remember. Look in. Let's go ahead in verse 10 here. He says, especially the day. So he tells them to remember some things. Take heed. Then he says, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Do you know what he's talking about here? Do you remember when they stood before the Mount Horeb? What did God give them at Mount Horeb? Do you remember? Ten Commandments. That's what he gave them, the Ten Commandments. And look in verse 11. He says, and ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even Ten Commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. Moses is telling the children of Israel, you remember this. And you can turn back to Exodus chapter 20. And you can read through that account, 19, 20. And read through there and see that God spoke to them. They heard his voice. And what did they tell Moses after that was all done? Don't let him talk to us no more. You talk to God, and then you tell us, otherwise we're going to die. We can't handle it. But you think about, you look at the children of Israel, how that they changed. They went further and further away from God. But you look at Moses, when he saw in Exodus 3, he saw the burning bush and he hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. And then in Exodus 33, verse 18, he says, show me thy glory. What changed? You read the account there in Exodus. Did you know that Moses spent 2 40-day times with the Lord on a mountain? He spent time alone with the Lord. So you tell me, what made the difference between Moses and the children of Israel? The time alone with the Lord. That's what made the difference. He spent that time. He sought the Lord. He asked the Lord not only, show me thy glory, but he said, Lord, teach me your ways so that I can understand. Teach me that. Show me. And the Lord did. The Lord showed Moses his ways. Excuse me. Here in verse 22, we're going to skip a little bit. Verse 22 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses tells the children of Israel, but I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. He tells them again, Take heed unto yourselves. Look, he just said this in verse 9. But he says again, take heed to yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And make you, and look, if you forget what happened, if you forget this covenant, if you don't diligently take heed, and this is not only the children of Israel, this is to us. We have to make sure that we remember. But he goes on and says, if you forget, then you're going to make you graven an image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Look, don't forget, or you're going to go the way of the world. Look, if you forget, you're going to go the way of the world. Don't forget. Keep that in mind. Follow him. Let's see. Down here in verse 28, he says here, 29, I'm sorry. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If you seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Look, if you find yourself that you have forgotten, seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. Call out to him. Ask him for forgiveness. That's what he tells the children of Israel here. Because if they do make themselves graven images, they do follow the Lord, and they provoke him to wrath, to anger, and he moved them out of the land, wherever they find themselves, that they will call out to him, he will hear. He will hear. And that's why he says in verse 31, for or because the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Moses is encouraging the children of Israel to continue. He's encouraging the children of Israel to understand and to remember that God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I want to encourage you today. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. Here, Moses. I like this account here because of the wording in this. Moses, he's speaking unto all Israel. In verse 1 of Deuteronomy 31, he says here, Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out or come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. And he will destroy these nations from before thee. And thou shalt possess them, and Joshua shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did in Sion, and unto Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Now look at verse 6. He says to the children of Israel, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Look at what he's saying. He says three things. Be strong and of good courage. That's two. So he says four. Be strong, not in your own power, but in the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. We have no reason to be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's telling the children of Israel, look, God has promised this to you. He's told you, I have given you this land. It's yours. And he goes on and says, nor be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of these people, these giants that you're going to face. Don't be afraid of them. Why? Because God's promised you. So he goes on and says, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We have it there again. That God will not leave thee nor forsake thee. He won't fail you. God's promises he will do. Then look at verse 7. It says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in sight of all Israel. I always hated that when my boss called my name and talked to me in front of everybody. I'd rather he pull me off to the side and tell me these responsibilities that I have instead of, okay, Paul, here's your responsibilities. I don't want everybody to know, but everybody needs to know. Everybody needs to know that. And Moses calls out Joshua in front of everybody. And he tells him, he says, be strong and of good courage. Tells him the same thing, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So twice so far he said to be strong and of good courage. But look at how he words it in verse 8. He says here, and the Lord... I think it's here in verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that will go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That's not the place I was thinking, but that is. I'll read that in just a minute. He tells Joshua. First, he tells the children of Israel, don't be afraid. Don't be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid of them. Don't have fear. And he tells Joshua personally the same thing. Why? Because God's given us a promise, right? That's what he's given to us. Look in Joshua. This is the part of the verse I was thinking of. Yeah, this is it. In Joshua chapter 1. Here. Now this is after Moses has passed away. Moses is gone. And the Lord is speaking to Joshua. Moses told Joshua to be strong and of good courage, that God's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And now here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, the Lord says unto Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua told Moses, Moses told Joshua and the children of Israel that God will not leave thee, not fail thee nor forsake thee. But now God's telling Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He says here in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. But look at this in verse 7. He words it differently. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look at that. I find that fascinating that he tells Moses in verse 6 to be strong and of good courage, because I promised you this. Be strong and of good courage to go in and divide this, because I've already swore and given it to them. But then in verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous, because you are going to have to keep my word. Look, keeping God's word is not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. And it's going to take us to be strong and very courageous, not in us, but in the Lord. God tells Joshua here, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You think about who he's going in, who Joshua is taking the children of Israel in to fight against. And this is the same people that the other generation that just died in the wilderness, they said, we can't do it. This is their children. Only two of that generation is going in, Joshua and Caleb. They're the only ones going in of that whole generation. From 20 years and up, they died in the wilderness because of unbelief, because of the size of the people. They felt like grasshoppers in their sight and said, we can't do it. That's the same people they're going in to fight against. And Joshua, Moses encouraged Joshua. Joshua is encouraging the children of Israel. The Lord is encouraging Joshua. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28 in verse 20, here David is at the end of his life. David is old. He's going to encourage Solomon. 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20 says, "And David said to Solomon his son, 'Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord.'" David is encouraging Solomon as the next king to stand with the Lord, encouraging him that the Lord will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll be there with you. He'll be there. He'll help you. He's given you a work to do. This next generation here, not in the Word, here in this church. I look out there and, you know, I see three generations. I see the older, I see the younger that have all the little kids, and then you see the little kids. Three generations here. That's an amazing thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's a blessing. Amen. We need to be encouraging. You know, it's not too late for these little bitty guys to be learning the gospel. It's not too late for them to be learning how to pray. We taught all of our kids how to pray when they were little. We would say something and then they would pray. And we would pray and then they would pray back and forth. They had to learn how to do it. They need to learn that, look, if there's something on your heart, one of our kids was concerned about our cups, our glasses. They didn't want to break them. So they prayed for our cups. You know, well, that's silly. No, it's not. It's what's on their heart. It's good for them to learn to take those things to the Lord and pray what's bothering them, what concerns them. Isn't that what we do? We need to teach them to take their concerns to the Lord. How are they going to learn it unless we teach them? That's what David is encouraging Solomon. Continue in this. Continue with the Lord. He'll never leave you. Look, I heard a man say one time, a preacher say, that him and his wife were driving down the road, and he was driving, and she was way over there, and she said, "You know what happened? Something happened because we used to drive down the road, and we'd sit next together, and you'd have your arm around me, and it was just wonderful." And he looked at her and said, "I haven't moved. He's still behind the wheel. She's the one moved over there." I'm not saying anything about men or women. I'm not saying nothing like that. But what I'm saying is the Lord's never moved. He doesn't move. If we feel separated from Him, if we feel that lost fellowship, we need to start praying the prayer David prayed. "Lord, search me, show me, bring me back to You." Because God promised, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." As we go throughout this next week, this week, and we think on these things and the messages that we've heard, don't forget them. Don't forget the sin in this world. Those temptations will separate us from the fellowship we have with the Lord. It will separate us from the fellowship we have with one another. Back in Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to read the text again. Before I'm finished. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Let go of the things of this world and seek those things from above. And be content with such things as you have." Look, it's hard nowadays. It's not just nowadays. When Trish and I were married, we had this idea that we needed everything our parents had. And so we went out and we got a lot of the stuff our parents had. What we didn't consider is our parents paid cash for everything and it took them 20, 30 years to get the stuff. We went out and got the stuff in just a few years. on credit. And then I broke my leg. And I was off work for 6 months. I didn't break it at work either. So I had no workman's comp. I had nothing. I had a little bit of disability coming in. I went from almost $1,000 a week to $200 a week. That's what I went from. That's a pretty big hit when you don't, you're just barely getting by the way it is because everything's hawked up on credit. It took us, we didn't miss any payments. We Lord blessed in that. But it took me 2.5 to 3 years to work out of all that credit debt. I've never been back in since. Never have. But I learned a lesson there. Because if the Lord was to call me somewhere, I couldn't go. How was I supposed to go? I was so deep in debt. You know, the Lord opened my eyes to that and showed me that, look, the things of this world are not what we ought to be looking for. I had to let go of a lot of things. And that's what he's saying here, being content with such things as you have. Be content with what the Lord's given you. Take care of it. For he has said, because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look, the Lord knows what we need. He knows what you need. He also knows what we want. And he knows the difference way better than we do. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I want to leave you with that thought. That as we go about the rest of these this week, that we would remember that God is always with us. He's always watching us. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need. If you're here today and you're lost, the Lord knows what you need too. If you're here today and you're lost, you need a Savior. And he sent that Savior to die on the cross. That's Jesus Christ came and died, was buried, and rose again the third day, paying for your sins. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you. Thank you.
Let's stand. It struck me as he was finishing this message that all week long what we've heard is truth, but it's so practical, so day to day. Sometimes we want to impress each other with how much we know, or a preacher can get caught up in that and trying to impress people with how much they know. But this was just common sense, practical stuff, rooted and established on the Word of God. God help us to live it. God help us to not forget it. Daniel, you come.